The Cold World of Sports with Teddy Tuxin and Alex Mandelberg.
We're talking about FIFA, the IOC, all international competitions here on the Cold World of Sports. I am Alex Mandelberg. With me, my co-pilot on the coldest motherfucking flight in the goddamn world, Teddy Tuxin. And with us, our first ever guest here to talk some fucking football and international sports with us, the one, the only, the comedian, the writer, the director, Tom Young.
Oh, hello.
That young you. Echo out there.
Boy. Goddamn right it did.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what's up?
You know what I like? Nice. We've only done three episodes. Two of these have been introduced by Mr. Mandelberg here. But when he starts his off, like, your man comes in hot, son. Like, there's no high. There's no hello. It's a podcast. It's a free-form medium. Like, you don't ever know how somebody's listening. They might be, like, on a study break or something, like, in their car. And they fucking, like, I'm going to load up this Cold World of Sports. And it's just dude, like, we're talking football.
Echo some comedian named Tom Young that I've never heard of.
Telling me I'm a little intense?
Do you like the anger? No frivolity.
We see the fire in your eyes right now.
There's no frivolity on the Cold World of Sports.
A lot of hustle. I like it. Vince Lombardi would like you.
You know the movies that just start? They don't have no credits. They don't have no title card.
You just can't
show up later. You're just missing the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's you when you are introing the Cold World of Sports. You show up 3 minutes late. You're like, what happened? You're like, everything.
Somebody gets to the end of The Dark Knight and finally says the title. Yeah, right. Oh, that's the movie I was watching.
Shit, I had come to see.
That explains all this Batman.
This is not Looper. Where is Bruce Willis? Where is the kid from Third Rock from the Sun? Where is he?
Promises were made.
I am getting my money back, and this AMC is burning down.
Well, you still got Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Dark Knight. Well, never mind. That's a whole other
That's why they stuck around so long. That's why the joke works. See?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, so we're starting out. So FIFA's World Cup in 2022 is going to be in Qatar.
Yep.
Now, a couple quick interesting, because there's a lot of firsts for FIFA in this World Cup. We have the first Winter World Cup that will ever take place. We have the first Middle Eastern World Cup that will ever take place. We have the first time that a host I've tried checking this, but I'm pretty sure this is the first host nation to never qualify for a World Cup.
Yep.
And kind of an interesting thing, as of December, they had 1,000 people die preparing for this World Cup.
Here's what I feel like. Qatar getting the World Cup is kind of like that kid who's rich but who's a mooch and like has no ambition. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then
your rich buddy who always needs gas money.
Right? But then they got a bangin' idea for a party. And then they're like, oh, where are we going to have a party at? Your house.
Because Qatar is like the nerdy guy in an 80s movie who wants to throw the big raging party at his house, but he's just not a ladies' man, and he's worried that everybody's going to find him out the whole time. Like, Qatar never...
Like, it's
never,
a rented house.
Yeah,
cars in the driveway are rented.
Yeah. This is a bad parody of, like, Risky Business or some shit. Like, the thing is, Qatar, they've never once qualified for the World Cup.
And Qatar, yeah, the first Arab country to
They're
host
hosting.
The World Cup.
They're a country... I have... The population is... 2 million people, from something I found today, only 10% of which are actually Qatari.
Oh.
The rest of those are like foreign workers and shit. They don't have the people to... population.
Right. And they treat migrant workers there like slaves. I'd heard the story that
aside from that, they don't have like a top division professional league. Like, they don't... Like, why is this...
Let's really set the stage, right? Let's set the stage for Qatar's World Cup bid, okay? Because it was basically Qatar and the United States of America.
We had
Bill Clinton.
Yes.
We had the big dog, Bubba Baby Trump.
Yeah, we did. And the thing is,
Do you know how much money you have to grease a palm with to make Bill Clinton?
Not only that, but the 1994 World Cup that we hosted was one of the most profitable World Cups like ever up to that point. And we're a country that has this professional sports stadiums, not just, you know, soccer specific.
Yeah, we wouldn't
stadiums.
Have to build stadiums necessarily.
We have NFL stadiums, we have college stadiums, we have stadiums out the ass that we
also
can hold.
don't have people dying at a rate of
this is
what they said about the
one every other day.
One every two days.
Mm-hmm.
A migrant worker, a Nepalese migrant worker.
In a state of indentured servitude, basically.
Dying one every 2 days. And then what they would do is they would take all of their identification after they came over,
cross
the border, take everything so they couldn't leave. They had no way to go.
Their employers would hold their passports and hold control over. They could be disqualified for an exit visa on like the slightest offense.
Well,
it makes it impossible for them to change jobs if they want to.
You've got Indian, Sri Lankan, and Bangladeshi workers,
and Pakistani and Nepalese.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah. And this report came out I think around the end of 2014, and it was a very very thorough paper that I remember when it was making its rounds, and. The Nepalese Foreign Employment Promotion Board said 157 of its workers in Qatar had died between January and mid-November in 2014. 67 of sudden cardiac arrest, 8 of heart attacks. You're basically talking about dudes just dropping dead on the job.
Like they're building.
And this is from The Guardian at the and
from
December
complete utter exhaustion, probably. Yeah. I'm sure.
34 of those deaths recorded as workplace accidents, which I'm sure probably resulted in a couple other dudes being killed because they weren't supposed to die on the books.
Now, the thing is, Qatar, they do have state labor. They do have labor laws. That require, basically the same kind of shit that's supposed to be secured to all of us, but none of it's enforced. Like, they're just like, oh, migrant workers. Like I said, that population, 2 million, only 10% are actually Qatari. They're just like, they're obviously not into doing work themselves, it seems like.
Not even 10 minutes in. Just Tom's coming out swinging.
Just the simple fact. And the thing is,
hard work.
That's where slave labor comes from.
Bribing people, okay?
Just the simple fact that the employers hold their passports when they come in, it's like right away, no, this is not how it's supposed. What are you doing?
Well, that was the interesting thing. Me and Teddy, when Teddy was on the other podcast I do, The Cantilinguists, we had a look at the Forbes 100, top 100 countries to open a business in.
They had all kind of grimy rich people list that was like,
come to Qatar, free labor.
Well, no, that was the interesting thing was
for money.
Well, the interesting thing was one of the recurring things, like they had a bunch of different rankings and things that they would rank in there to determine who was tops. One of the categories was human rights.
Yeah.
So basically,
we're talking
Forbes, which is the rich of the rich. So basically, they were admitting, they go, it's a lot easier to do business in places where you don't have to worry about motherfuckers having basic rights as human beings.
You
got to
bribe the shit out of everybody.
One of the last things I read about Qatari law today, like before I came over, concerning all of this stuff, was in a lot of the women who work in just households and stuff over there. Have no rights, no protection whatsoever under the government. And all I remember is the very last line of the article was, "And marital rape is not illegal." Like just that was like the note that it ended on concerning Qatari law.
By the way,
and FIFA, which promotes peace and understanding
in theory,
tolerance and acceptance and all
in
this
theory,
stuff.
In theory, FIFA's nonprofit.
In theory, they're all, like you said, they're nonprofit. But
with $1 billion in reserve.
Today, they came out and they said that like these are all the things they stand for. It's like, oh, but then you're going to give the World Cup to a country that's never qualified and also uses slave labor to build the stadiums. And they basically, women are like the fucking ancient times.
Well, I mean, that was kind of the whole thing. The whole idea of Qatar, I feel like John Oliver said it best when he said, people are claiming that there's bribery going on, and I hope it's so, because otherwise this decision makes no sense whatsoever.
You're playing a 90-minute plus
football
match
part
in 110 degree.
Part of Qatar's original bid booklet, I remember following it at the time, was they kept saying, no, we can hold the games in the summer. They were going to play it in domed stadiums where they were going to be like climate controlled and all. They were like, oh, we have the technology to do this. And then like a couple years down the road, it's like, oh yeah, remember?
Remember all that technology we had?
We don't really have that.
So think about that.
And the whole time, Sepp Blatter was like, "Yeah, you know, the FIFA, you know, we're gonna have the World Cup when they say they can have it. We're gonna stick to their bid booklet." And now Sepp Blatter's saying, "Oh well, you know, it was always our right to change it to a Winter World Cup if we wanted to." It's like, no, you fuck. You're screwing every major professional league in the world.
Well, here's
except for the MLS.
here's what this is. You know, you turn to Wikipedia. Yeah. I'm gonna give this name a go. So, please silence in the room. Sheikh Mohammed bin Hamad bin Khalifa Al Thani.
Good way to go.
He was the head of their bid commission.
Right,
I believe,
he was the chairman of the Qatar bid, and he stated, "This is what Tom was saying." Quote: "The event has to be organized in June or July. We will have to take the help of technology to counter the harsh weather. We have already set in motion the process. A stadium with controlled temperature is the answer to the problem. We have other plans up our sleeves as well." That just means bribing people, by the way.
We know
that means now.
That ace up my sleeve is $5 million.
If he comes. Listen, this is what happened. The inspection committee came to Qatar in September for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what, two months later, at the beginning of December, December 2nd, they just let one day go by. They're like, all right, y'all got the bid.
Yeah.
That's just money, son. That's how money works.
That's just enough time for somebody to open a briefcase full of money in a crazy suite at some resort.
Here's what I think. I think that Tom is underselling it. Okay, right? Let's say you start off. You come in, I open a briefcase full of money, and you're like, oh, that's a lot of money. And then you get down to the cab or whatever, son. But then the cab is just filled with money in the back seat, too, right? And then the cab takes you to your hotel room. And the hotel room is also filled with money, right? You see where I'm going. You can do it for hours.
Well, here's my question.
And you try to order some dinner, right? But the dinner is just a plate full of money.
Okay, here's my question.
And a whole women's international soccer team waiting for you. Sepp Blatter, by the way, when they were like, I remember they said.
Oh, they're getting sued. FIFA's still being sued by the women's teams. We haven't even touched on that. We should absolutely touch on that.
Because they were like, what can he do to make the game more popular? And he was like, I don't know, have the women wear shorter shorts.
Yeah, I heard about
jerseys.
That.
He's like, well, it's like, well, you sexist.
And fuck it, let's open a Hooters. What's the hottest weather you've ever been in?
Hottest weather? Probably down in Mexico, probably like 108, maybe.
What's the hottest temperature you've ever been in, Teddy?
I know I have walked, say too much right now. But when I was first starting out here in L.A. and I got swindled by one of them Craigslist jobs.
Ooh.
Oh, that'll happen.
And I was on my like second day interview.
Was this at Nickerson Research?
This is not a Nickerson Research.
It was actually at FIFA.
I was working to be Sepp Blatter.
They got Qatar off Craigslist.
I was burying bodies for Sepp Blatter one day. I was doing one of these like grifty ass jobs where you like go door to door and try to get people's phone bills to upsell them, and you had to be the full suit on. But we were in like Azusa, and it was like 103. Jeez. And that's the hottest that I think I've ever been in, just in a suit. And I was like, Lord have mercy. I have been so many bad.
Okay, because see, here's the thing. I spent a summer, not a summer, I should specify. I was working on a production shoot, but we had 5 days in Saudi Arabia. And it was 130-something degrees outside.
Yeah, they said summertime
absolutely
temperatures
not.
In Qatar can hit 100, in the 120s.
Yeah, it gets ridiculous. Here's the thing.
You can't play soccer at 100 degrees.
Here's the most interesting thing. The hotel that we were staying at, and this was a thing that was with all hotels, because apparently if you're not used to it, you can die going from a climate-controlled 70 degrees right to 138 degrees.
I believe that.
So you'd have to go through 5 glass sliding doors. Like one would open, the one behind would close, and each one they would increase the temperature like 10 degrees, 10 degrees, 10 degrees, so that by the time you were outside, you weren't having your body be completely it is the most dangerous level of heat that you will ever understand. It feels like if you stay outside too long, you could die.
Yeah.
And I couldn't imagine playing. Yeah, I couldn't imagine playing soccer in that type of weather. So I always, from the beginning, when they said they were going to try and climate control it, I was like, It doesn't feel like it's going
to
work.
If it had been awarded to the U.S., there are certain cities like there you can't play it.
I'm not going to play soccer in Jacksonville. I'm not playing soccer like in Houston.
In World Cup, you can play soccer in L.A. in February. That's the thing, though. Like
You can play world. You can play soccer in L.A. in June.
Well, it's listen,
not that bad. Oh yeah, no, it's not that bad.
If we got to really talk about the bribery, though.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you talk like that's the thing, you're talking about a 2 month window where Qatar was lying through its teeth.
Well, they said
about what they could do. Look at like if you look at this Wikipedia page and you look at all of these stadiums, none of them exist. They're all planned.
Yep.
None of them are. Yep. None of them exist.
Well, you have the same problem in Qatar that you had in what was the first stadium
Not building a fucking stadium.
What was the first stadium that
so
the U.S. played at in the Brazil World Cup?
Manassas.
What was that? Manassas.
The rainforest.
Manaus.
Manaus.
Manaus. Manaus. Manaus. That was the second game against Portugal.
Yeah,
This is a
stadium. There's no professional team that has filled that stadium. It is an empty stadium. Nothing goes on.
Minimum capacity stadium for a World Cup group match game is also like 40,000 to 50,000. It's like they're not small stadiums. These are big goddamn stadiums.
But that's the whole thing is you're talking about a country that has zero professional soccer
teams.
Also,
three people died while building that stadium.
Zero professional soccer teams.
A lot of the workers in Brazil died.
Yeah, a lot of
them. At least three on record that we know of.
It was only like a few months before the tournament. I remember part of the stands in one of the stadiums collapsed, and it killed like a dozen workers.
But that's the thing. Nothing is still on the level of Qatar. Those are all travesties and tragic, tragic incidents. But in Qatar, it's basically just been crystallized into business as usual over there.
Well, what I'm trying to get to, though, is even further is the same that happened in Manaus is with all of these stadiums going up in Qatar, there's no one to fill these stadiums once the World Cup leaves. What's going to happen to all these new stadiums now?
They're just going to be empty. They're going to sit there and do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the allegations
nothing
of bribery,
in the desert
right?
but space, huh?
Right? Like, you got dudes who are like, yeah, we can build like eight stadiums or whatever, and you got cats like Mohammed bin Hammam, I believe, who listen, I'm killing these names today. So I want, please, Cold World of Sports Riffalonians.
It's a lot of weird ones.
Let me know if it's just weird to you, Tom. Let me know how I'm doing on the names. Let me know how I'm doing on the pronunciations. I appreciate the feedback. But anyway, your man was key in securing Qatar's FIFA World Cup games. But your dude went down for bribing like 25 people, son.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yo, B, that's a lot of bribes. And you're talking about cats who are asking for like $4 million here. $3 million, son. That's gonna add up, dude.
You're obviously new to FIFA because you're like shocked, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Here's the jaded lifelong soccer fan's like, only 25, huh?
Yeah.
This is a good year. This is gonna be a good ass World Cup.
Let me tell you about World Cup 78, where people think Argentina fixed matches, but you know,
I mean, that's the same thing that I believe is going on for Brazil is
they've kind of talked about that a little bit. You know, it's interesting to note that soccer is football is the only sport where referees don't have to answer for calls. They can make a call.
They don't have to. Sure
that isn't true because the thing is most professional leagues, like most top division leagues around the world, if a referee misses something in a game, they do have review boards that watch footage if something was missed. Like just this past weekend in England in the Premier League, Manchester United versus Liverpool, something happened after the final whistle where Skrtel, the center back for Liverpool, you know, he basically stomped on De Gea, the United goalkeeper, after the final whistle had gone. Ref didn't see it. This is something that now could potentially get him like a 3-match ban because the FA went back after the fact and looked at it and were like, oh, no, yeah, that's a 3-match ban for that shit.
Tom and I were coming at this from very different perspectives. He's talking as someone who watches substantially more soccer on a day-to-day basis than I do. I was coming at it from the perspective of a street perspective since we're talking about grifters.
Yeah.
And referees do have to answer for it, and that's when they kill them.
As has happened in Brazil and a couple other places.
I'm aware. I'm talking, that was directed to Mr. Mandelberg over here.
Okay, yeah. So yes, referees do have to answer, where if you don't fix that match accordingly, I will murder you.
I actually, yeah, right?
I will kill you.
Literally, right before I came over,
so.
I just watched a documentary, one of the ESPN 30 for 30s about the...
Which, by the way, we should also... I want to commend you right now. Tom is finally recovering from a bit of an injury here. He braved the LA
the first
system.
Day walking.
Yeah, yeah, so this is good. But I heard that you were murdering 30 for 30s.
Oh,
over
yeah,
there, so.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, sitting at
just
home
absorbing
after
them like a
knee
fucking
injury
beast.
Will make you watch a lot of sports documentaries. nothing will make
have
you,
you
drive
all
yourself more.
30
insane.
Of the 30s.
I've seen many of them. Many. I watched all the soccer ones, but definitely.
You had told me last time that you were like you were starting to dive into even the 30 for 30 shorts. Like
oh,
you were
yeah,
even as you
yeah,
like
yeah.
you were like, oh yeah, I can bang out like five of those in a sitting.
I watched the one the No Mas about the boxing.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
But what I was saying though is right before I came over here tonight, I watched the one about Andres Escobar, the Colombian player who had gotten killed
yeah.
after the own goal against the U.S. in 94.
Yeah.
Mm. And they
shit
said
is depressing, man.
His club team in Colombia that he played for, who were, like were at the time were like the champions of South America and all this stuff, they were owned by Pablo Escobar, and he had refs killed for making bad calls.
Yeah, like, yes, so. I didn't, like... there was a fucking
jeez.
It's amazing when I got to watch a little bit of that stuff during the World Cup because the
oh yeah,
there's you know some of the job stuff and it did World Cup stuff, but then there was this show where they went down across South American countries and just sort of toured different soccer hotspots and what have you.
Oh yeah,
and they Boca went to Juniors. Colombia and they talked to some of his teammates, and like one of the scenes was us. Was them going back to, I guess, the nightclub where it had happened, where now it's just, like, grass and they've razzed the parking lot or whatever. And he's kind of looking over it and, like, they talk about how Pablo Escobar ran everything in that town, man.
But the thing is, they also say in these documentaries, too, that he wouldn't have let anybody mess with the soccer players because he was like, you know, yeah, I'll order a ref to get killed, but he's like, you don't fuck with the player.
Yeah.
Would you say yeah. that as a soccer fan...
It's totally fine to kill the referee.
Would you say as a soccer fan that you have more acceptance to corruption than any other
oh,
fan
no,
of any
no,
other sport?
Not at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, here's the thing. FIFA, we know, like,
you
we
do,
we
though,
sit here.
At least seem substantially
oh, I'm,
unfazed.
I'm jaded. I'm definitely okay, jaded by it because I've
but it
seen,
does bother you still.
Oh, no, it bothers me big time because the thing is, just from a fan standpoint, from just looking at the game itself, not even talking about it, all like the human rights violations and all the shit that goes along with this Qatar World Cup.
The beautiful game.
They're a team, yeah, right? They're a team that has never qualified for a World Cup. They don't have a top-level professional league in their country, which when the U.S. hosted in 94... part of the deal with FIFA for us to be allowed to host that tournament was we had to establish a top league. We had
Tom's
to,
also rocking
we,
a U.S.
We,
soccer
yeah,
jersey
we,
right
we
now,
had,
so he can say us.
We had to found the MLS in order to actually qualify, in which the MLS's first season was in 96. We did that shit right after the World Cup. And
get
and,
this thing up.
Yeah. And the league's been growing. And the thing is, you know, now you have Qatar, like I said, who's never qualified for the World Cup. They're going to be – we saw what happens when you let a country host that's not like, you know, a reasonable power within the game, like South Africa in 2010, first host nation to not qualify out of the group stage.
Yeah.
Like,
that is...
A country like Qatar could potentially be really embarrassed.
Yeah. That's
well,
true.
Let's be fair. They're going to be embarrassed.
Wait, no,
they're,
no, they're and hopefully so.
Oh, embarrassed on the field. Off the field, I think Qatar is going to deal with a lot of embarrassment.
Oh, they're embarrassing themselves off the field.
I mean,
they've
been sort of an international embarrassment for years now, this whole process.
Yeah.
But on the field itself, mm-hmm. not being able to field a quality product is sort of going to be...
And aside from, like I said, you know, you've got the issue of on the field, aside from all of the human rights violations and everything. Other than that... They straight up lied in their bid booklet. They said, "Oh, we're gonna play the games in the summer," and then after a few months, they were like, "Oh, wait, you know, you guys didn't really think we could play them in the summer, did you?"
Well, that was the thing. They never tested any of that technology at all.
So right then, straight away, it's like, oh, you lied in your bid booklet. That alone should mean, you know, take the way. Because up for the World Cup to host, the hosting rights at the same time were us, England, I think Australia, and I want to say Spain. I can't remember.
It came down to the final five bids for the 2022 World Cup were Australia, Japan, Qatar, South Korea, and the United States of America.
Yeah, which...
And this is how the voting went down round by round. It's basically knockout round kind of thing. Yeah. Round one, Qatar pulled in 11 votes. The United States got 3. South Korea got 4. Japan got 3. Australia got 1, and it was eliminated.
And that's the U.S. with Obama speaking on their side, by the way.
Yeah.
Then you've got round two, Qatar with 10. United States pulls in 5 this time. South Korea with 5 also. Japan with 2. Knocked out. We move on to round three. Qatar back at 11. United States squeaks in with 6. And South Korea, 5. Knocked out. Fourth round. Majority, 12 votes. Round four, Qatar gets 14 votes. United States gets 8.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the bribery comes in, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, pretty much.
The smallest nation by area ever to be awarded a World Cup. The next smallest is Switzerland. And then we're talking about the 1954 World Cup in a very, very different age.
I still want to know who is that motherfucker.
And it's still 3 times as large as Qatar.
I'm just curious, what happened to that dude who voted for Qatar in round one? Didn't vote because they went from 11 votes to 10 votes to 11 from round 1, 2, and 3. What happened to that motherfucker?
He knew what he was doing.
A lot
though.
Of cash in the
that
trunk
dude,
of a Ferrari.
That dude
Ferrari.
Knew what he was doing. Okay, that motherfucker. Like, let's go through some of the things that Qatar was asked for in their allegations for bribery. Trinidad and Tobago's is it Tobago or Tobago's?
Tobago.
Yeah. Jack Warner and I can't remember who the other guy was. I basically
Jack Warner,
think
I only know the pronunciation of Trinidad and Tobago because I watched a lot of Mighty Ducks 2, and that was the first team that they played in the in the
junior. Hanging out with too many Midwesterners, I think that's where Tobago comes in. Jack Warner from Trinidad and Tobago demanded $4 million for an education center in his country.
I do believe. Him and I can't remember who the other delegate was.
Paraguay's Nicolas Leos.
I was going to say, I thought it was a South American.
Asked for honorary knighthood in exchange for his votes.
I think because it's like, oh, yeah, only those two guys were the only
A couple
ones.
Dudes just asked for 1.5 million cash.
Yeah, the U.S., the Qatar was beating the U.S., what, by like 4 or 5 votes? It's like, oh, that was only two guys being bribed, I'm sure. Yeah.
Plus, you got your man over here bribing 25 cats, just probably bribing secretaries and FIFA, son. Like, I would love, if I had a kid, I'd be like, hey, if I just had a real street kid and I was like, try to be better than me, go be a secretary for FIFA.
Yeah,
just be a regular administrative assistant.
Go get in on the biggest pyramid scheme in the world.
I would tell my kid to just be an administrative assistant at FIFA, son, and just get that grip.
Now
you want
to know what kind of power FIFA like? The
ticket dude. We're not even talking about that ticket scandal when an executive bounced right at the beginning of
the
World Cup.
They got the law changed in Brazil to sell beer.
Yeah, to sell beer because
they set up their own court in South Africa.
They are
set up their own legal system in South Africa.
I mean, I feel like if you want to know everything you need to know about how evil FIFA is as a corporation, because I call them a corporation, they're not a nonprofit, they're a corporation. If you want to know how evil they are, Brazil loves football, and you had people protesting the World Cup. That I feel like is like to anyone who goes, I don't know. Like that's all you need to know.
And why though? Well, why were they protesting? Because
that's
who got all that money?
It doesn't have to be like the World Cup in Germany in 2006 went off. You know why? It's a country that has the infrastructure to hold it. It went fine. I have friends who were there.
Yeah,
they said it was awesome. You know,
you can't hold events like a World Cup in countries that are not already set up to handle an event like it.
Such as South Africa?
I feel like if part of your bid is the building of the infrastructure to support it, I feel like you can't qualify.
Exactly. Like I said, Qatar straight up lied on their bid booklet and like went back on all that stuff. That alone should be like, okay, we still have the time. We're going to take it from you. Because like I said, at the same time, us and England and South Korea, Japan, Australia, we were all going for it. Just speaking for the U.S. and for England, two countries that already have the infrastructure. England has one of the top leagues in the world. They have the stadiums. They obviously have the fan support and the infrastructure to run a tournament like this.
Well, it's not unprecedented for things like this to be taken away, or at least for the conversation to come up. I know I'm jumping ahead. We'll come back. But, I mean, the Olympics, they've been talking about with how
– How dare you jump ahead, sir?
With how unprepared Brazil is for the Olympics. They've been – you know, there was the
– And part of that is because that they have –
Maybe
they
or
no
maybe
money.
Didn't – maybe or maybe didn't call London to see if London could have the Olympics again because they had it most recently. I feel like there is certainly a precedent set up that – FIFA should be able to go to Qatar and go, no, you know what? I know we gave it to you, but now.
No, sir, because that is something Sepp Blatter has already said will never happen.
Sepp Blatter cannot admit that he is wrong.
Listen, what does his headline say? This is a USA Today headline. Please read it for our...
Despite allegations of massive corruption, Sepp Blatter won't revisit World Cup
votes. The picture with this article is priceless, too. I just have to address the fact that Sepp Blatter's making a face like a cartoon kid.
He looks like a cartoon kid. Now, we could actually... I'm going to give you one chance to redo this headline. You can eliminate one word that is completely extraneous. Does not need to be there. I think you know what it is. Alex Mandelberg. I'll give it to our guest. You can eliminate one word from this headline that has no reason to be there at all.
Allegations.
Please read the headline again, Tom.
Despite allegations.
No. Read it without the words, sir.
Despite massive corruption,
Sepp Blatter won't revisit World Cup votes.
Thank you very much. I guess you have to remove the "of." Yes. I guess it's two words.
Yes, I know I'm a jaded soccer fan at this point.
You're talking about allegations. Yes, of course.
The reason I say that, though, is because.
Which is not just Qatar, though. Let's be clear. That's also the 2018 Russian Olympics.
But by this time next year, we might have a different FIFA president.
Hopefully. The thing is, in May, FIFA is having their elections. Sepp Blatter is running again. If he's reelected, it'll be his fifth term in office. Like, it is ridiculous. He needs to go. that's just not
how long. How long is a term?
Four years. Literally, like this will be his 20 fifth presidential term.
So you've had 20 years. We've had
16
or 16.
But the thing is, running against him is Luis Figo, the former Portuguese international, former captain of Portugal, and he played for Barcelona and Real Madrid.
He would be the first. I feel like he might be. Isn't he the first player to run for this position?
I don't know. I think Michel Platini ran for it in the past, but I think he may have run. I know right now he is the president of UEFA, which is the European Federation.
Yeah.
The Umbrella Federation.
Which, by the way, but they're the ones who are talking about suing FIFA for this whole Winter World Cup.
It's the...
to bring it all full circle.
What is the group? It's the...
European
Professional Football League's Association, I think it is.
Oh, yes.
They're threatening legal action. This is all the top divisions from, you know, England,
How many
France,
people are
Germany.
Threatening legal action right now?
Who knows? But like I was saying... running against
the Premier League basically backed off. They were like, we'll accept it, but they said that they were pissed, but they said they'd accept it.
The Premier League is backing off simply because what's his name?
Money. I think it's his name.
David Gill.
They showed up to a car full of money.
A former director of football for Manchester United, David Gill. I want to say his name is, but he's running. Or he's being appointed, I think, to a position within FIFA's executive council. So he's basically a voice for the FA going, wait a minute, Sepp. Like, what the fuck? I just saw that today. I don't know all the details. It should be on ESPN FC.
FIFA vice president.
Well, to actually have a conversation about
David Gill, he's going to be a voice for English football at least in there. I don't know about us, but
about the game itself, though, when Qatar 2022 comes up, having it be mid-season for the Premier League, which is where the majority of...
It's going to be mid-season for basically every major European league.
How do you feel like this is going to affect the actual play on the field?
Well...
MLS players will be at the end of their season. They've already played a full season.
MLS players will not be in season, but any of
them. No, they'll be at the end of the season. They've already finished their season.
Their season will be done, yeah.
Yeah.
So they'll be out of, they'll be in the off season. Clubs in Europe will be in the, although the thing is, they're saying to give national teams enough time, they want to give them at least like 12 or 13 days, I think it was, before the tournament, which isn't a hell of a lot of time to play two warm-up friendlies.
21st of November, that's when it's kicking off.
To get your 21st of November, but they're saying they would have to release players from their clubs around October 29th or 30th.
It's a reduced, it's only 28 days. It's also a reduced time frame, right?
Yeah, which playing that many games within less than a month.
Plus that temperature. It's a recipe for disaster.
At that level of play that these guys, it takes 2 or 3 days to recover from a match at this level, at top level, world class professional football. To play that many matches within 28 days is, that's rough. That's pretty rough.
Do you think we're going to see a lot of injuries then in Qatar?
I think we could see a lot of injuries. I think it'll be injuries from tackles. I don't think it's going to be pulled muscles and stuff like that, like anything out of the ordinary from regular league play.
I think do you remember in the NBA playoffs last year? Do you remember in the NBA playoffs last year when the heat went out or the air conditioning went out?
Oh, yeah, LeBron cramped up. Which is his body just shut down. And I think that's the thing where you're like, you forget that even elite athletes are still human beings.
Oh, they still got a wall.
A professional league season in any of the top leagues in Europe consists of 38 games, give or take. If you're in the Champions League or the Europa League, you're going to play more. You're going to play like 40 and up. But the thing is, in the middle of that, you have squad rotation. You have squads of over 30 players that from your first team through your reserve teams and all that to pick from. So there's squad rotation. So these guys coming into the World Cup, they might all be sharp from playing in their leagues. They might all be – but the thing is, they're not going to have a lot of time – to play together as net because all
they're going to be in better shape, but they're going to have a lot less continuity.
All the guys who play for the USA or for England or for Spain or whoever, they don't play together all the time. They all play off at their clubs with guys from other countries. They don't play together all the time. What? So the fact that it's in the middle of the European season, yeah, all these players might be physically sharp, but at the same time, they're not going to have a lot of time to train together as national teams before the tournament. And this has always been one criticism of the World Cup over, say, against a club competition like the Champions League, which a lot of people consider the Champions League to be the best football you'll see in the world.
Because these
are guys who play week in, week out at their clubs together in whatever their domestic league, whether they be in Spain, Italy, France, Germany, U.S., England, wherever, Korea, Japan, they're playing together all the time. And these clubs that play in the Champions League, those are the top two or three teams from each top league around Europe playing against each other all the time.
It's elite of the elite.
Yeah, and the fact is, you're going to see better quality, like team soccer, because these guys play together all the time. Now you're talking about the limited time that international managers have with their teams before a tournament like the World Cup, and you're just cutting it down even more because you're like, oh, we got to cram all this into 28 days. We need at least like, you know, a half a month before the tournament to work with our teams, maybe play two friendly warm-up games with another national team.
So you're just saying it's going to be ugly football altogether?
No.
Well, the other thing is,
I don't know. It could be these guys are all at their peaks.
With the weather, it's always lurking, though.
It's still going to be hot.
Fair point.
It's still going to be hot even in the winter.
It's still Qatar.
Yeah, it's still going to be hot. It's not going to be as hot, so it's still going to be probably like playing summer anywhere else. I don't know. I haven't done the research on that.
It'll only be 95 degrees outside.
Look it up and let me know. But the thing is, you're going to have guys who are in the middle of their club season, so physically they might be sharp, they might be ready to go, but at the same time, you're not going to have that much preparation. The national team managers are going to really suffer because they're not going to have the time to properly prepare for a tournament once they get their group. You know,
average temperature, by the way, if anyone's wondering, is anywhere between 80 and 75 degrees. That's actually nice. That's actually kind of nice soccer weather.
80?
80.
That's hot, man.
80 to 75. That's kind of nice.
Tom says it's hot, B.
Yo, respect the guest.
Respect the guest, son.
Respect the guest said it was hot.
That was the one thing about the World
what
Cup
is messy
in
thing?
South Africa was it was in their winter because it's Southern Hemisphere, so the games were a lot faster in most cases.
Okay. All right.
Well, the other thing, though, is to Tom's point a little bit about schedules sort of internationally and all over the world is that the Africa Cup of Nations has to get postponed from
– The African Cup of Nations happens in the middle of the European season all the time.
Right, but it's getting postponed, though. I think it came across from January to June just because of the fact that you can't participate.
Yeah, because FIFA will essentially be taking
the 2023 one, I should say, not the 2022 one. The 2023 one won't be able to happen in January because they'll be coming fresh off of the World Cup.
Oh yeah, and the players
so
will be gassed.
They'll be gassed, so they have to push that back to June.
Yeah,
but that's where you end up with all these leagues saying they're going to seek compensation from FIFA. Yep.
Which FIFA has said that they're paying out
triple the
normal amount that they pay to clubs whose players participate.
That's
in
what
the
you
world.
Could do when you have which, a billion reserves.
That's what happens when you fleece Brazil.
Which FIFA goes on about, oh, we can't please everybody. Like, you know, Europe just wants to do what's good for Europe. It's like, well, the European clubs are providing most of the players at the World Cup, and that includes a healthy chunk of the South American players as well from countries
that's
like Argentina.
That's a fair assessment. I would probably say I would say a respectable number would be what, 50% of World Cup players play in the Premier League?
No, not the Premier League. I'm just saying European clubs in general, they gave, I think it was something like 70% of the players at the 2014
play in Europe.
Yeah. That's where all the top leagues are. That's where all the best money is. I mean, I love the MLS. I want it to become a great league. But at the same time, it's like Europe right now is still the best in terms of club soccer.
Well,
club football.
Here's where we're kind of staring in the face right now. If you're FIFA, right? Before we transition on to the other corrupt brethren of international sports, you're FIFA right now.
Yeah.
You're staring down the barrel of and this is the thing. We've focused so much on the 2022 World Cup that we've barely even touched on 2018 in Russia, which has which doesn't have the migrant workers dying at one
they do
every
have
other day, but they do have all the human rights violations.
Anti-gay laws.
You have the fact that Russia's currency is in the middle of a free fall. You've got the fact
Russia's involved in the Ukraine.
And you've got the fact that Russia's in the middle of this border war with Ukraine, plus the fact that Sochi was a debacle.
Oh, complete.
And that Sochi was supposed to be paid for with all these private funds, and yet the taxpayers were on the hook, and a bunch of Putin's friends basically got all their loans guaranteed, and taxpayers have to foot the bill. Yep. And now you're supposed to turn around, and Sochi barely got off the ground. And now you're still kind of under the gun for having – I think that's how fucking terrible FIFA is, right?
Are you trying to tell me
we're so focused on the 2022 World Cup that
we're not even missing
overlooked?
Are you daring to say that Vladimir Putin is a crooked politician? Are you daring? Maybe Vladimir
hey,
Putin's
man,
a bit of a
listen,
crooked motherfucker.
Why you got to be? Listen, maybe he.
How dare you?
Maybe
slander
I don't
his
need
good
to
name.
Say it, and
how
it just
slander
has to,
the good name of
it,
Vladimir Putin.
It just speaks for itself, so nobody needs to say it, so they don't have to listen.
He probably
so
hangs
the Kremlin
out with
can stand
ladder.
Down right now. I absolutely do, but I think that's it. You've got
well,
this
there is a sliver of hope for FIFA. Like I said, they've got the presidential elections.
Tom's an eternal
May.
Optimist, huh?
Hey man, you have to be when you're an American soccer fan, you know.
I like that. That's fair.
What am I not going to root for my team? Go fuck yourself.
No, I like that.
But there's three other candidates aside from Sepp Blatter running for FIFA president right now. They're Michael van Praagh. I think is how you pronounce his name. He's a president of the Dutch Federation. You've got a Prince Ali bin Al Hussein from Jordan. I don't know anything about his qualifications for the job. And Luis Figo.
I'm going to guess with a title like Sheik.
Yeah,
don't do it.
Prince,
don't
need him. He is
don't
Prince
do it.
Ali.
Don't do it.
I'm going to go into a Disney musical number right now.
Don't do it. You don't know that man. Don't judge that man.
I'm not. I just don't know his
I'm talking to my co-host over here. Not
gonna,
all sheiks.
I'm going to judge this motherfucking Thanks, Prince Tom. Ali all Thanks, I want
and,
to.
And the last candidate is an intriguing one. He's Luis Figo, who is the former Portuguese international player. He's captain of Portugal. He played for Barcelona, played for Real Madrid. He, you know, was one of the greatest players of his generation. He was part of the Galacticos Madrid with Zinedine Zidane and Ronaldo
What are the chances, though, that any one of these dudes actually does beat Sepp Blatter, what are the chances that these dudes would be willing to revisit a Qatar World Cup vote?
Going on what they all say, how they're all for change and things need to be different.
We're gonna let soccer fan answer first. We're gonna let the street guy.
No. Trust me on that. If any of them were elected, I wouldn't expect anything. I don't expect any of them to be elected. I think it's gonna be Sepp Blatter again. Unfortunately,
he's the overwhelming favorite.
He's got the endorsement of Pele. Why, Pele? We love you. Why? Why?
Pele enjoys being alive.
He enjoys getting paid, I think.
Yeah, Pele enjoys that car full of money.
Do you know how much dirt Sepp Blatter has on Pele?
Whatever. I'm going to come out and say it.
Car full of money.
I have to say it now because I hope a lot of soccer fans will listen to this. I think Zinedine Zidane was the greatest player of all time, not Pele.
I'll hear that.
Dropping bombs out of nowhere at the end of the FIFA second.
We got off of Pele.
It's lit right now.
He's certainly got the best headbutt in all of FIFA.
It goes Zidane, George Best, then Pele.
Oh, he's putting two over Pele.
But the thing is, Luis Figo is the interesting candidate to me. He's a former player. So basically, he's the kind of guy who hopefully would like know what kind of shit in the game just needs to change. And he's like the other candidates. He says he's all for transparency, blah, blah, blah. But the only other thing in reading about all of these guys today, I couldn't find anything about their actual like what they say they would do differently.
That's what Sepp Blatter said.
Sepp Blatter, when they were all in front of UEFA, he didn't even
overwhelming.
He didn't even give a speech, like an election speech.
Why give a speech when I've already paid for your vote?
No, he just let the other
broke motherfuckers.
you find out FIFA's really like a shell corporation for Spectre or something
It is.
Sepp Blatter's really a Bond
Spectre
villain.
Is actually just inspired by FIFA.
Yeah, by FIFA. Yeah, there's no Illuminati. It's just FIFA. But Luis Figo he's running for FIFA president. He's talked about things not just in terms of like the financial issues and all the corruption with FIFA. He's also talked about the game as well, concerning things like instant replay technology, stuff like that. Which I don't know how I feel about all that necessarily. It's interesting that he's willing to he would be a FIFA president that seems willing to try stuff.
Well, I understand that. With the goal line technology that they spend so much money on, I don't know what you need replays for.
No, you need replays for things like offsides call. You want them for things like penalty calls.
It slows the game down, though.
No, it totally does. And that's how I've always felt. That's why I'm saying I don't know where I stand on that.
Here's my question for you.
What's that?
As a diehard American soccer fan.
Yes.
Somebody who would love to see the game become more and more vibrant here in the States, right?
Yes.
You're rocking the polo right now.
It's a jersey, man.
And that's why he's a diehard, ladies and gentlemen. From your perspective, I just want to paint a picture and then ask you a question.
Okay.
I think part of the reason why, before we transition away from FIFA, is that part of the reason why it's hard for soccer to maybe have the foothold in the United States that it does is that the corruption is so egregious and flagrant, whereas in our American in our American sports, there is at least a pretense that you are doing things in a It's not so. It's
we
not
make
so
a bigger. We make a bigger effort to cover up.
The people who are football fans know that the 32 owners in the NFL have done some of the grimiest shit imaginable to amass their fortunes,
covering up for wife beaters.
Those same guys are also they're giving money to how many different domestic violence, you know, organizations and shelters.
Oh, yeah.
They're contributing to how many different philanthropic causes. You hate him. He's the bane of your existence. But Robert Kraft, you have said before, he defines the NFL owner. Why?
Because he is absolutely the forefront of philanthropic NFL work. I mean, the man basically started a football league for underprivileged
and
kids
yet
in
you
Israel.
Despise him because...
He owns the most evil corporation in the league, and he's best friends.
Stop.
And he's best friends.
You're gonna keep going.
He's best friends with the commissioner of the league.
Okay,
which
there he is.
To me is completely flagrant because you shouldn't be allowed to be friends
now
with
him. Now, that's America, okay? That's still America. A cornerback for one of the Super Bowl teams called it out at a press conference. It was just something that people wrote about. You've got fucking German construction companies, meanwhile, on the soccer side, suing possibly Brazil or FIFA for bribes in all the construction contracts. That's never going to happen at the Super Bowl. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're never going to – like, the only thing that's going to happen at the Super Bowl is that someone's going to sue Jerry Jones for not letting them sit in the seats that they thought they had tickets for. And then it'll get settled, and it'll be a funny headline, and then that's it. And I think part of the reason why soccer can't get a foothold in America is because
that's the thing.
Shit is so flagrant.
No, well, you're already assuming that soccer can't get a foot. It already has one.
It has. I'm saying
I don't dispute that. World Cup, we bought more Americans bought more World Cup tickets than any other country aside from Brazil, who hosted the tournament. We have. Our league that's been here, 96. So, yeah, almost.
We're going to be hitting 20 years now.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the thing. It's here. The league just expanded, too. And hopefully soon they're going to be coming out with news of where the new expansion team. It's looking like it's going to be in Minneapolis. But I know Sacramento is also trying to get a team with money from the fucking San Francisco 49ers.
Well, there's a lot to be said about soccer picking up in the U.S. Listen,
I don't dispute anything. I mean,
I went to a couple Galaxy games this year because it was Landon's
Galaxy
last year.
Galaxy are a really good team.
I wanted to see them.
I mean, the Houston Dynamo from my hometown. I was blown away by
how much fun I had
Houston
at the game.
Houston Dynamo have won the MLS Cup.
Yeah, I've heard that. I was blown away by how much fun that I had at the game. And also, for those of you who don't know, if you ever go to a soccer match, the nice thing about it is 2 hours, you're out of the stadium.
Yeah.
That's it. The game is 90 minutes. There's 30 minutes in the middle, no TV timeouts. The game
depending
goes,
on where you're at, though, you
moving.
Might die. Where in the world you might die?
It was funny. I you talking about like the craziness of soccer fans, and it was like I knew the MLS had reached a new level where it was like a couple years ago. I was working like a shitty retail job, and this one dude Frank,
Frank?
Guy I worked with, he was
Shout out to Frank. He was a hardcore
Galaxy fan, and he went up with all the Galaxy fans to San Jose for the game against the Earthquakes, which is like a big rivalry in the California in the Western Conference, and a whole bunch of his buddies got it turned into like a crazy riot in the stands, and tear gas got shot and all that. And he came back to work. He was like, yeah, I got away. He's like, a bunch of my friends got arrested and shit, though.
And they say our soccer isn't the same as other countries, God damn it. And they say our soccer isn't as good.
He's telling me this, and I was like, man, I kind of got a little misty-eyed. I was like, we got real hooligans now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
people say that
this
it doesn't
it
have
starts.
A hold here.
Call mom. We made it, mom.
No, I remember, man, when I was like, oh, God, how old was I? This was 1993. The year before we had the World Cup, we hosted what was called the U.S. Cup, I believe, which was kind of like a dress rehearsal for the World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like an invitational tournament with a few international teams.
Hey, we going to put some money in your car show up to
and
I don't think you guys understand that they just do that. It's a joke, but they just put money in your car.
RFK Stadium.
Sometimes your backseat, sometimes your trunk.
I was there for...
Sometimes the entire cabin.
Go ahead, sorry.
All I'm saying is I remember seeing a U.S. and Mexico game around that time where I think we won like 4-0 or something, and it was like I was really little. And it was my parents had like four of the six kids with them, and fights were breaking out all over the stadium as we're running out. Like, we're trying to make it back to the family van.
God bless. Well, we got to move on. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the IOC. There's a lot going on there.
A little bit? Come on now.
We'll talk a little bit. We're going to discuss the IOC. There's a lot going on there because we got Sochi. We got Brazil. We have the fact that no one wants to host 2024. We have people withdrawing from 2022. We're going to talk a little bit about the Salt Lake scandal. But let's start in Sochi, because we discussed it a little bit before about the crookedness of one Mr. Vladimir Putin.
Well, first of all, you got the fact that the Sochi Olympics end up costing around, what, like $51
billion? Yeah, I think that was the number that they ended up settling on was $51 billion, of which most of that 51, by the way, that's billion with a B, not million with an M. That's $51 billion, of which a lot of that money went to dudes who, like, Vladimir Putin is in their cell phone book.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. When you go through some of the $51 billion is five times as much as Vancouver spent on the last Winter Games in 2010. Okay. That amount.
Hot damn.
Here's the other thing. That amount also dwarfs It's three-fifths of, like, the world's country's GDPs. Do you know what I mean? Like if you took a fucking United Nations list of countries and you were just like, who has as much money a year as they squandered in Sochi? Three-fifths of motherfuckers like, I'm out. That's too high for me. Y'all got me on the flop.
That's a little hot for my
blood.
You got
me on the flop. But yo, that's Putin, son. I keep computers Putin. Listen, look. Here's some of the numbers, right? Let's run through these. Russian taxpayers are picking up 96% of the tab. This is based on the investigation.
The Olympic Stadium is 2.5 times more expensive than similar stadiums in Europe. Its cost may have gone up 14-fold in 7 years.
Look, yo, but back to that first point though. I'm gonna highlight this stat for you, yo. Please read this to our cold world of sports audience.
About 75% of the $7 billion plus in loans had to be restructured last fall, ensuring the government would lose most of its investment.
Yo, that's all of the money, son. That's all of the money. And you wondering why the fucking ruble is free-falling? You had to restructure over 75%. You had to restructure three quarters of the loans? Yo, imagine if anything that you was doing, you were like, three quarters of this got to be fixed. You'd be like, yo, let alone something that you've been working on for a decade? You'd be like, yo, you fucked up all of that?
Let's say that this is Russia. You know, they do have an amazing ability to fuck things up.
Yo.
Three of Putin's old friends were awarded contracts totaling $15
billion. $15 billion, son. $15 billion. That's just for hanging out with Putin, so that's just for being Putin's boy.
What's $15 billion among friends, right? That's nothing. He's like, I got that much downstairs in the cellar.
The fourth was a mafia-linked businessman with ties to Putin's friends built the Shaiba hockey arena for $33 million over the market price.
We go to the highest bidder here.
Yeah, no, those are markups that even dudes in pyramid schemes are like, whoa, don't bleed the fucker that dry. Come on, you got to leave something for the second trip around, I guess.
Well, the guy's not going to come back for more if you make it too obvious.
You can't fuck the guy that hard. I'm sorry. It's just we're not looking for that hard. I don't even know what's worse about that sentence. A mafia-linked businessman or $33 million over the asking price?
Or a Putin-linked businessman. Or a Putin-linked
Here's the thing. A Putin-linked businessman with ties to Putin is probably one of the dirtiest, slimiest things you could say about a motherfucker in the world.
Also, it's the only way that you're going to get in for the fucking job because that's all I'm putting on my resume if I'm a grifter in Russia. I'm showing up and they just do a single sheet of paper. It's like... what qualifications? And friend of Putin.
They check on it, and Putin's like, that's ballsy. Good. I like you.
I like you.
I like to think Putin would be a guy who does that.
But meanwhile, it's not just Putin, son. It's your man Medvedev. Look at that. How much did he award to his ski instructor, son? How much in contracts did the prime minister's ski instructor get, son?
$2.5 billion.
He's really good. He's really good.
$2.5 billion.
Just because he was connected, son.
He's a really good instructor.
Gosh. I mean, the construction company is owned by Siberian politicians with no experience building sports arenas, has spent $500 million on projects up to 2.3 times over market price.
Didn't the Sochi, the campus where like all the athletes stayed and stuff, didn't it have like toilets that wouldn't flush and shit like that?
No,
like,
some of them didn't have fucking windows.
Yo, remember your man had saw the wolf? Remember that dude with Sutton Wolf that was just rolling through that shit?
That's Sutton Wolf. That's just motivation to run down track.
Meanwhile, but for real, they built a power station. They built a power station for Sochi that could not supply enough electricity for the Olympics, son. It still can't do it. It's double the market price. It still can't do it.
Oh, God. See, okay, here's my question, though. With all these things that are at least 2.5 times market price, maybe they're just trying to set a new market in Russia. Maybe they're trying to double up on cash. Yeah. Maybe they're like, okay, we get it. This whole like thing.
Well, that's the thing,
we
though,
get
right?
it. Communism no work, but we double your capitalism and we have more money.
Well, let's
like,
run,
maybe they're just doing that.
Well, let's you run the threat, though. You go
it's
from,
like the economics of a child.
You go from. Yeah, right? It's basically. So.
If we just charge more, we make more. Right?
Exactly. We just charge 2.5 times for everything, and it's make us more money.
He's a wild and crazy guy, that
But it's amazing, though, because you've got all the Sochi information finally coming out, right? We're running down the headway to 2016 in Rio. Brazil, fresh off the World Cup, we just talked
which, by the way, we talked about earlier, but the IOC is still denying that they've contacted London about possibly hosting it if Brazil isn't ready next year.
Which they probably won't be.
Did you see those overhead shots?
We're talking about authorities are investigating Brazil and for allegations that companies formed a cartel to drive up the value of contracts with state-controlled energy giant Petróleo Brasileiro.
Yep.
And paid bribes to executives and Brazilian politicians.
Sounds right.
I said this in the pre-show, but I will say it again. So far,
$15 billion though, and that's not even. Yeah, we still what? We still a year away from the Rio Games. How did fucking Sochi reach 51 for the fucking Winter Olympics that have less events? You have less events.
Okay.
In the Summer Olympics.
So I said this in pre-show, but
You got to build like
the big difference to me so far
horses and shit.
These helicopters don't fund themselves.
The big difference that I've seen between the IOC and the FIFA, the only one that I've seen is that IOC will kill less of your citizens but take more of your public funds. So far, that's about the only difference that I've seen between the two. Like, we're going to steal more of your taxpayer money, but we'll kill less of your citizens.
I mean, it's insane when you look at like you look at the numbers for what they did in Sochi, right? Like
well, can I ask a quick question? Where's the Olympic Committee based? Where is the Olympic Committee like based?
The Legion
out of
Doom.
No, like what country are they based in? I'm just curious.
That's like a great question.
Because FIFA is based in Switzerland, so it's like
they're next door.
You're based in the country that has all the most like lax banking laws. That's a big surprise.
It's based in France. 1894. Nonprofit founded in France.
I thought it was a French.
It's old world. We're talking old world grift here.
Yeah. Old money grift.
Here's the Sochi. I think the thing is amazing about Sochi is that like it doesn't like you don't have that many events for the Winter Games.
You don't have anywhere
compared
near
to the Summer Games.
You have nothing.
It's a fraction.
Yeah, I guess so.
But
yeah.
Not a fraction. It's about half.
But for those events though, you have to build facilities like hockey rinks.
Yeah, but even then,
like
you still
speed
don't have
skating
that many
courses,
you
like
still,
bobsledding
you
and lugeing,
still don't
and
have that many.
Well, bobsled and luge all takes place on the same course.
Yeah,
on the same
but
run.
That's an expensive goddamn course.
By the way, let's also remember that the fucking Olympics were so corrupt. Let's talk about actual events. That remember the fucking NHL sent its own team doctors to evaluate players?
Yeah, they did.
Because they were afraid.
They were afraid
of the shitty national teams, and then they were just afraid that they were going to send them back on the ice with all kind of injuries.
If you're trying to tell me that there's not corruption in IOC, I'm like, I know there's corruption there in the IOC, but I guess it's weird. It's like after talking about FIFA, I go, is IOC that bad?
Yeah. You're having the same thoughts. You're like, sounds about right.
Yeah, it's that weird. Well, here's the thing. Tom, as much as he is a lover of FIFA, you know me. I am the guy. I watch every event in the Olympics.
I love the Olympics.
Winter too. Fucking you. Me and Teddy have sat and watched curling matches.
First of all,
together.
I have gone curling. I love curling.
I like Olympic hockey.
Shout out to Hollywood curling.
Oh, Teddy, you're a big ice dancing guy, aren't you?
I just said curling.
Have you watched ice dancing? Come on, Teddy. I'll admit I've watched the ice dancing competition.
I've watched a little bit of everything. I've watched a little bit of everything. Okay. Shout out to Dick Button. Dick Button is a legend, son. I love me some Dick Button.
Well, Dick Button is figure skating, but Dick Button is maybe the coldest motherfucker
ever. Dick Button
ever.
Is ice. Period. I don't think of anything except Dick Button when I think about ice.
Shut up, Tom. Dick Button is just the coldest.
Dick Button is the greatest. Yo, I just want to grow up to be Dick Button, son.
There's a girl who's in the Olympics. She's skating. She's probably like 17 years old. She's been training since she's like 6. Her mom has to wake up at 5 in the morning to drive her to the ice skating
rink. Get her to the rink for her
ice
time.
And she has a little bit of a trip on one of her triple axles, and Dick Button will be like, there goes the rest of her life.
So like,
he's that
world.
Dude.
So he's like the Bobby Knight of figure skating.
No. Bobby Knight is the Dick Button of college basketball.
Don't
you ever forget it, Tom. Don't you ever in your fucking life make that mistake.
Come on. How am I impressed by his credentials if I don't know if he's ever strangled one of his fucking figure skaters?
If you don't think Dick Button has slashed a bitch's throat wide open with a fucking rogue skate that wasn't his.
With the toe pick.
It wasn't his skate. He just put it back in the locker after he cleaned it off. And they're like, we need to search your locker. Go ahead.
I would like figure skating if they instituted fighting like in hockey.
I could be down for that. If Tara Lipinski would have skated into the middle of the ring and just punched another bitch in the face, I would have loved figure skating a lot more.
It would have given Tanya Harding a way in. The illegal way.
Goddamn right it would have. There's a lot.
Here's something I want to show you, though.
We're going down a rabbit
hole. I know that you don't. I feel like I have to make the case for the IOC against the IOC, as bizarre as that sounds, because I know FIFA is so top-heavy. We spend so much time.
Yeah.
This is from what I have tried to tell you about the Salt Lake City, Park City, I guess, 2002 Winter Olympics, when they finally won. Nagano won in 98, or they won for 98. Where is this headline from, sir? It's New York Times. What is the dateline, son?
January 22nd, 1999.
Please read the headline.
Olympics corruption is
what? Olympics semicolon because somebody was just lazy and they're like, yeah, this shit happening again. Read the whole headline, son.
Olympics blah, blah, blah.
Category. That's category. That's a category.
That's
okay.
The Google search.
Now the actual headline shows
corruption is extensive. IOC official finds.
That's a motherfucker on the inside.
Yep.
Now please read the lead paragraph for this New York Times 1999 pre-Y2K article.
A senior official of the International Olympic Committee acknowledged yesterday the corruption in the Salt Lake City bribery scandal was extensive and involved total cash payments and benefits perhaps exceeding $750,000.
That's all he was going to acknowledge on the record, by the way, so we know the number's higher.
Are you surprised by any of this?
I am not surprised. What I am surprised by, though, which is to what we sort of were getting at, you're like, listen, everybody still wants the World Cup. Nobody wants the Olympics, right?
Yeah, everyone wants the World Cup.
But in 99, everyone still wanted the Olympics, even though the New York Times was printing headlines saying, hey, corruption is extensive. They brought in your boy Mitt Romney to save this Olympic bid in Salt Lake City, which goes down in history when you just Google like IOC corruption. This is the sort of pinnacle of corruption.
Look. When Mitt Romney is your white knight in this scenario, that's pretty bad.
They were.
Yeah,
paying,
white knight could be used in two different ways.
They
in
were
that
putting
moment,
like
yeah,
it came out
true.
There's a lot of white knight going on in that motherfucker.
It came out that they were just putting like random people's fucking kids through school. They just had people like on the fucking like on the Salt Lake committee. They were just putting like random Swiss officials' kids through school, son. Like it was an open grift because again they were like, "Yo, we got outbid."
Which is fucked up because I think education's free in a lot of these European countries.
Not for these kids. It's
not for these.
Not for the private schools.
Not for these motherfuckers. No, it ain't. Yeah. You know, there's a. I like I said, as somebody who loves the Olympics, it's very hard for me. I do the same thing as you, Tom. It's like, yeah. I know that the thing that I love is kind of a little bit corrupt.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing that's killing it for me. Like FIFA has gone to a point so far where I'm like, if it's like comes down to boycotts, fuck yeah, I'm all for it. If it means forcing some change,
but you don't think change will actually do you? Do you believe that?
I'm not saying I'll be the guy to organize the boycotts, but if you tell me they're happening, otherwise, I'm going to watch
the
World Cup.
I'll be there.
Yeah. That's the sad thing. Well, that's the thing, too, you know, with the Olympics and with you were talking about how the NHL sent their own doctors to look at the hockey players. I feel like with the Olympics, do you think there is a little bit of that attitude of like, oh, I'm playing for my country right now. I have to go through injuries or whatever. Because the thing is, the World Cup, you get a lot of guys who, I don't know about playing through injuries, but you get a lot of guys who play like above themselves at the World Cup.
Because they can use the. I think there is some of that at the Olympics because you've trained in a lot for of, 4 years and it's your only shot at maybe getting endorsements.
Yeah.
And various other deals.
I mean, there's an American. Oh God, I'm forgetting the American player's name who kicked one of the most beautiful goals of the entire tournament in
the
Brazil.
2014 World Cup.
Yeah.
You're talking about Julian Green against Belgium.
Yeah, that one from the corner that was just or not from corner. The corner from outside the box where he just rocketed one in that went
in the
top
shot,
corner.
No, that was Jermaine Jones.
That's it. That's the one thing. Jermaine Jones is not at least to me. I never thought of Jermaine Jones as the level of player who would make that type of a shot. But he played to the moment. Yeah, so I can certainly
he's
hear
he's a defensive midfielder and he ends up ripping a shot
like that. Here's with the Olympics though is that you've got like a Usain Bolt, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean he's a world class sprinter, but yet he becomes a Gatorade phenomena, household name. He becomes a thing that can be endorsed. He's an endorsement guy.
Apollo,
through the Olympics.
Anton Ono,
but to the point, this is what I was saying about
Phelps.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you become a household name at the Olympics. I think that's the difference between the World Cup and the Olympics. Is the World Cup you can use that to get more money from whatever clubs and stuff.
Oh,
the
World Cup,
that's your showcase.
Yeah, that puts you on you know,
but
on
you,
the floor.
But
for
you
everybody.
Don't become a sort of like. The Olympics can make you into someone like Bruce Jenner, who is still a pop culture figure.
I beg to differ, though. I think the World Cup is starting to catch up in that regard because you look at a guy like Landon Donovan, who to people like Americans of my generation, that guy is like a goddamn national treasure, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I do understand that, but I don't think that the cultural, the pop culture thing is there for the World Cup at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Oh, there absolutely is.
Not for the United States, perhaps.
No,
is that
no,
a fair point?
There is.
No, I don't think at all.
All of the
I don't think that international, like, the same way that, like, a Kerry Strug became an international sensation at the Olympics, there is not the same thing that happens
for
the World
Cup.
There was for this past World Cup, because most of those guys, a lot of those guys on the U.S. team.
Ain't nobody make a Wheaties box.
Hold on a second.
Nobody
though.
Made a Wheaties box.
I will say this, though. Where Tom is absolutely correct is the fact that what we've never had in the history of the World Cup coverage in the United States, in my opinion, never before was a player being snubbed, quote, I'm using air fingers, snubbed, was a player being snubbed from the team
Landon
national
Donovan.
News.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Landon Donovan not making the team.
That was a very new thing. Yes, I will agree.
We never had a story about
because
this
the team
player
never had
didn't
enough
make,
history.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is now all of a sudden we have a team, as Tom pointed out, that I didn't even think about. We've made it out of the pool stages 3 out of the last 4 World Cups.
Yeah.
That is
no out 2 out of the last 3.
I thought we made it out in
we didn't make
the
it,
men's team.
We made it to the quarterfinals in 2002.
We're talking about the men's team.
The women's team has a World Cup championship under their belt.
World Cup is coming up. The women have a couple of them under
which
their
that
belt.
Lawsuit by the way they I guess they
pulled
it off.
But the thing is this World Cup we made it out of our group for the second time in a row.
We were technically in the group of death, which, yeah. By the way, if you're in the
we
group of death...
We were technically in the group of death. We were in the group of death
with fucking Germany, Portugal, Ghana, and us.
Which part of the reason it was the group of death was because we were in it.
Yeah.
That has to go...
We were a lower seed team that nobody wants to play.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly, certainly. We were a lower seed team.
And so was Ghana, and then you have Portugal, who has one of the best players in the world, and Germany, who won the tournament.
Who's that?
Who... Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah.
We're talking a lot about soccer still.
Sorry. I didn't mean to get sidetracked.
It's not your fault. I'm blaming the point is this, though. Go ahead, Tom.
I was just trying to make the point that guys, for the whether it be the Olympics, the World Cup, or whatever, a lot of athletes might tend to push themselves a little too far because they're playing for their country.
I agree. I still don't think...
At least I'd like to think so. I don't know.
I think the idea of the Olympian versus the World Cup athlete has a different cultural resonance.
Yeah, it does.
That you're never going to see Home Depot commercials about we sponsor World Cup athletes the same way about Olympians. It's never going to resonate the same way it does in the heartland of America.
Yeah, certainly.
It's different.
I beg to differ. You know, one of the biggest youth tournaments.
You're never going to see Home Depot saying we sponsor World Cup athletes versus the same way as like the guy who fucking stocks your paint is going out for the pentathlon.
We do see those ads all over the place.
No, you don't.
Tom, hold on. Where I'm going to kind of like interject to say is like what he means by that, and he is correct, is that because the Olympic athletes are amateur athletes.
And they do a bunch of different things.
They're not amateur.
Well, hold on a second.
They aren't playing in professional clubs. Here's the point. There's 302 events at the last Summer Olympics.
Yes.
In 2008, at least.
Yeah.
Okay? There's one fucking event at the World Cup. So you're talking about a professional event versus a shitload of amateurs. It's not the same at all.
What I'm talking about, Tom, is I'm talking about the guy who does the hammer toss. I'm talking about the guy who throws the javelin. I'm talking about those guys. Those guys have sponsors who allow them to actually be able to train so they can go to these things. And those usually are corporations like Home Depot is a big one. Home Depot is all about Olympic representation. So in this situation – no, you won't get commercials about Home Depot sponsoring them in the same way because Home Depot – really, the American who throws the hammer, the American who throws the javelin, the American who is the third leg in our 4x100 relay, those guys –
steeplechase.
Are making $50,000 a year from Home Depot, and that's the only income that dude will make that year.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a big difference between that and the World Cup. With the World Cup, you were talking about, let's say, safely 90% professional athletes.
The World Cup?
Yeah.
They're all professionals.
No, some of these smaller countries that don't have professional
Some of them
clubs,
might field guys from like semi-pro teams, but that most of the team, they're all professionals.
Yeah, no,
like,
the majority is pro. Yeah. So maybe 95% professional athletes.
No, they're all professional.
Whereas the Olympics, I think we can maybe probably safely say 30% professional athletes.
Yeah.
Probably about.
And even if you're a professional athlete, your sport is such a non-major sport that your professional calendar isn't really that strenuous comparatively.
Well, yeah. I would change the word strenuous to garnering public attention
What I was trying to say concerning like the
fiscally
like
rewarding.
What you're saying about the advertising concerning the Olympics over the World Cup, like that's not true. The biggest sponsors of the World Cup are Budweiser, Coca-Cola, Adidas, Hyundai. I can't remember what the other two are.
It's not about the level of sponsors, though. It's how they talk about the athletes in the event itself. You're going to have major sponsors for both because they're both international sporting events.
Yeah.
but you're never going to see them present even a Landon Donovan, even a Jermaine Jones. They're never going to present him as a, this is the guy who lives next door to you who's competing in an elite international athletic event. That's not what they do. He's some sort of faraway athlete. That's the difference between the Olympics and the World Cup.
There is
distance always between this is a World Cup team versus, hey, you shop at the fucking Lowe's where this Olympic athlete
stocks shelves
and puts themselves through competition. That's never going to happen for the World Cup ever because they're all professionals.
That I certainly understand that point.
I think that's partially why we talk about I don't dispute that soccer and MLS and all these things are having a larger foothold within American sports culture. But if we talk about the cultural resonance of the Olympics versus the World Cup still versus MLS, the Olympics is still going to bigfoot everything because it has those human interest stories that soccer can never touch.
It does, but at the same time, do you believe a lot of those human interest stories?
After Manti Te'o, I don't believe none of those fucking human interest stories.
I'll tell you this. Does it matter to me? Because we aren't the audience for them. I'll be honest. The three of us are not the audience for the NBC Olympic broadcast.
No, it's middle America.
So who gives a shit if we believe them or not? Because we aren't who they draw them up for.
Yeah,
we aren't.
No, you're drawing it up.
So if I'm looking at your average American and I'm saying, do they fucking have a vested interest in this human being story? Yes, I do. Unfortunately, I don't want to say yes. I would love to say no, but you fucking if this is the cold world of sports and we're being honest,
if we're in this frigid cold world together,
that NBC executive doesn't get a shit about what we say at all, and they're looking at the heartland of America. Real America, whatever dumbass euphemism or metaphor you want to use, and those people do care. They do still care about Apollo Anton Ono and his story. They do still they give a fuck. They give a fuck about somebody waking up every day to go to the gym at 5 a.m. and hearing about their mom transfer to 3 different states and get different jobs because that's how they live. They don't like it's not us. That's the thing. That's why the Olympics is so beautiful. It's the purity of the human spirit.
So if that's the case, then why is it that nobody wants Olympics? And
because they steal all of your money. Look at this chart. Look at the chart. This is the chart that I was trying to find for you.
Whereas with the World Cup,
this is a chart that I was trying to find for you. The World Cup's going to steal all your money, but at least you won't feel as bad about it.
But you're going to see professionals play.
But here's the thing. You're going to get wined and dined, and you're going to get, you know, you're going to get bribed by somebody. Yeah. Who do you want to get bribed
by? If you want an idea of how much money has been spent at some of these Olympics, at the Beijing 2008 Olympics, those were Summer Olympics. There were 302 events. They spent an average of $132 million per event.
$40 billion total.
Sorry. Sochi 2014, there were 98 events, under 100 events. They spent an average of $520 million per event.
$51 billion. And that is why nobody wants the Olympics right now.
Yep.
That is exactly it. Because Sochi came in with that shit of all this is going to be privately financed and none of it's been privately financed. Taxpayers picked up 96% of the bill, son. Same thing's happening in Rio right now already. They already got a taste of it with the World Cup. Same thing's happening for the Olympics coming up. Okay. So now fucking flash forward to 2022, son. Don't nobody want them fucking Olympics either.
Yeah, in Boston, they're going to have a
vote. No, that's 2024. We're talking about the next summer. Summer ones. 2024 is you know, the next Winter Olympics. But nobody wants the summer 2022 Olympics. It's come down to Beijing
again
and Kazakhstan, home of Borat. And it's funny.
It's funny to me too, but
you're talking about a fucking like that's it. It's Beijing, which is rapidly trying to.
You have no idea how much I had the MIDI pad, so I could have loaded up. It's funny to me too.
Beijing rapidly trying to reduce its fucking pollution problem, so they can get the 2022 Olympics because their competition is Kazakhstan. Yeah. So they should smoke these clowns. The only thing holding them back is because nobody can breathe fucking city.
You can't play sports in Beijing.
Yeah, you can't have elite athletic outdoor competitions in the summertime in Beijing because your city, it kills people's lungs.
Much like Qatar.
Yeah,
but look at let's run through what happened, right? Okay. Oslo, Norway. What they give out the fucking Nobel Prize in that shit, don't they? That's the Norway, son. How much are they going to get? $5.4 billion is what they put up. They got 5 million people, son. They wanted it badly. Badly. Then they said, hey, let's put it up to a vote. How many people in Norway said no?
By the way, if you were wondering, $5.4 billion in a nation of just over 5 million people, so that's nearly $1 million for every person in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then 56% of the country was like, nah, son, we ain't feeling it. So they killed their bid. Flash forward, we go into Krakow, Poland, son. How many people in Poland said no? What's the number?
My Zadie's from Krakow, Poland.
What number?
70% said they didn't.
Over 70%, son.
Now we're good.
Germany and Switzerland.
Yeah, you want the Olympics?
Killed their 2022 bid as well, too.
Germany and who?
Switzerland. People didn't even bother to try, including the good old United States of America.
We were busy trying to get the World Cup. That sure paid off.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Which
going
leaves
into that.
You China and Kazakhstan.
You seem really... I feel like Teddy Tutson wants it to go to Kazakhstan.
Of course I do. Of course I do.
Wouldn't that be
because
some shit, though,
then
people
you
went?
Will never... You will be like, I feel like FIFA's kind of running away with this evil thing. And you're like, oh, shit, it came down to Beijing and Kazakhstan, though.
Wouldn't that be some shit, though, if Kazakhstan actually had it and people were like, you know, that was the most well-run Olympics in decades. That'd be amazing. The good problem, for them.
I mean,
good,
sure,
I hope it happens.
I'm sure they had athletes four to a room, sure. But, you know, whatever.
I would love to live in the
those
world.
Those are only lies, but it was back out.
Love to live in the world where you could entertain that fantasy.
All athletes have to use the one phone in village.
My point is that, like, FIFA's more transparently terrible, but the IOC is like an onion of terrible. Whereas the more you peel,
The more evil it gets.
You realize how terrible and depressing and how long it's
diabolical
been.
With each passing level.
Here, look. Just read me this sentence from this Yahoo News article. Just read me these sentences about what the IOC does.
The IOC does not pay its athletes. We always knew that. It doesn't share revenue with host countries. I bet a lot of people didn't know that. It doesn't pay the countries to send their athletes. That I bet a lot of people
It doesn't pay for countries to send their athletes.
And it doesn't lay out any construction or capital costs.
At least
it also, which athletes. This a lot of people have learned in the last few years because of being a 501c3 nonprofit organization, it does not pay taxes at all on anything.
The only thing that you have going in your favor in this argument as we round to our conclusion, is that this article gives you credit for your point.
Quote from this article, it's a heck of a racket, only FIFA does it better.
That's it. That's it. Right there.
Again,
Teddy Tutson dropping the mic, walking away.
It all comes down to me being like, yeah, it sounds right.
It sounds about right to me, too. It is a weird thing when you talk about this. It's hurtful almost that we can't have international competition without corruption. And I don't even know how to surmise why international competition has – it breeds so much corruption. I wish I was a smarter man so I could actually have something to say about it. But at the end of the day, it seems like these international competitions, what they breed more than anything else besides national – patriotism is corrupt business.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. Corrupt business and national patriotism. I guess that's how we could sum up IOC and FIFA all together as one.
Same way we ended up in World War I, isn't it?
Look, man, Tom ended our pre-production starting about Indochina-Russian battles and wars. He's going to bring it in. Here's the thing. I think this is what we can basically say, right? We're looking at it to kind of bring it in. You've got
all I will say is FIFA at least does pay clubs for the players that they use. That's a,
in theory.
Yeah. No, no, they do.
No, no, they do. They totally do pay that. Do. They do pay that money. But that's the thing is that they have ample amounts of money. Yeah. And what the IOC?
I ain't seen no checks.
What IOC pays to
player?
What okay, Tom. What IOC?
PR agent Tom Young.
I don't recognize you. You're not on the roster. Get out of here, you scamp.
There is certainly money that IOC pays that is equal to the money that FIFA is playing to use these players. So the money is going out somewhere or somewhere else either way. But the fact at the end of the day is both of them are corrupt organizations that are not paying any taxes to the countries that allow them to put on these huge, huge profit-making enterprises inside their country and reap all the benefit and give none of the profit.
Well, I think it's fascinating to me when you look at right now where it stands with the Summer Olympics coming in 2024. I guess it's 2022, I guess, would be Winter Olympics, I guess. Yeah, I guess
so. Do you guys see the Olympics a little bit as kind of like a declining competition?
Here's the thing. I think the Olympics, because it is every 4 years, it's not hard to rejuvenate interest in it with a couple of sports here taken out, a couple sports added there. It's just so unique as a competition because there's so many events. You get 300 fucking things. It's so hard to. It's like the circus is always going to be a thing. It may not be as popular as it was when they were.
Yeah, there's always to me. There really is something so magical about the Olympics.
Sure,
the same way I feel like as the World Cup, that there is something kind of magical about watching countries compete for nothing more than national pride.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where Boston is the American representative for the 2024 Summer Olympics.
Okay.
Is it summer or winter? I thought they were winter.
It's summer. I believe it's summer.
Wicked.
Yes, it's Summer Olympics, which I think that's part of the thing is because you have this whole blizzard blanketing the East Coast right now, and they're like, oh, so we're supposed to get ready for the Summer Olympics with only 2 months after the snow melt? And so there was a grassroots groundswell against the sort of private entity known as Boston 2024 that secured the bid for the city. If you go through WBUR, the NPR news station, Boston,
private group who secured
they build themselves as a public group, but they're a private group. We don't bullshit ourselves here.
Interesting.
It's a private group actually that it was revealed that the Boston 2024 group is paying just a shitload of fees to just all kind of executives and whatnot, including former Governor Patrick Duvall, $7,500 per day. $7,500 a day, son. Not a week. A day.
Damn.
To be a global ambassador to bring the games to Boston. And then once it was found out, he was like, oh, I'm going to give you my services for free.
What is a
How funny that works, right?
What exactly?
Oh, y'all found out I was getting $7,500 a day? Okay, I'll give you for free.
What exactly does a global ambassador do?
Stop sucking the ambassador's dick. I digress. I'm sorry. But this is an interesting stat, I think, to Tom's asking about the Olympics being a declining thing. When it first, I think, got announced in January, so WBUR, the NPR station of Boston, 51% of Bostonians supported it. In February, dropped to 54%. And by last week, okay, so I guess like the week of the 18th or something, March 18th, it had plunged to 36% support. That's a substantial
– Yeah, that's a big
decline. That's a fucking slope, man.
Well, I think it goes.
The other options besides Boston, you've got Paris, Rome, Hamburg, and I mean, I think the thing about it is that because of all the snow on the East Coast, you're an East Coast guy, Tom. Boston was so hit with their transit system
Everybody
fell apart.
Was, yeah.
So they're like, if we can't handle this, how the fuck are we supposed to handle the Olympics?
It's that weird thing that all of a sudden I feel like the last few World Cups and Olympics have forced a lot of people to kind of sober up about the idea of what hosting something like this entails. And I think the national sway for a lot of places is not worth the hassle.
Here's our ending question. I think this is with your framing of it.
Drop it down.
Would you rather, in the year 2022, be running the Winter Olympics in Beijing or Kazakhstan? Or would you rather be running the 2022 World Cup in Qatar?
Specifically,
and this means all the years leading up to these events. So right now, for the next 7 years of your life is dedicated to executing this event.
Because you're saying the 2022 Winter Olympics, I will say the World Cup, because I believe that
misdirection.
I believe that as big an Olympics fan as I am, I am the first one to admit the Winter Olympics is not getting near the press that the Summer Olympics gets. It's not as big an event. People don't care. There's only a third of the events actually going on during the Olympics. And I really do believe that FIFA has got to a level.
Wait, you're running the World Cup.
I feel like people are still shocked when they hear that I am a corrupt IOC official. When I tell people that I went out to my car and, oh man, I couldn't get in my car because all these bags of money that FIFA left in there. I feel like people are like, yeah, of course. You didn't expect those bags of money? Yeah. FIFA leaves those bags of money for all the people. Come on. I feel like you have a lot less scrupulation over what a corrupt motherfucker you are. Right?
Yes and no. I can see your point. I can see your point depending on where you're being paid off. It's also a lot easier to dump your body in the desert.
Yeah, so, burying bodies in the desert. Nobody's going to find that body.
I mean, yours. I'm talking about yours. Tom.
Damn you.
Yes. Tom, what would you rather run? The 2022 Olympics in Kazakhstan or Beijing? Or 2022 Qatar?
This is a big problem for me because I wouldn't want to run 2022 in Qatar because I think it's, you know, complete crap that they have it in the first place.
Sure. You don't have a choice, though.
Got to pick one.
You can't undo the hypothetical that's based in reality.
I would probably run the Olympics but enjoy the World Cup. That's the sad thing.
Tom, you're a corrupt elite level international official for
get out of your red power tie, put it
which
on.
Which one are you? Well, which if, one? If you've I'm, got 7 years of enjoying corruption and bribery and kickbacks. One are you dedicating
if
to?
If I'm looking at it that way, then it's probably the World Cup. I'd probably make more money.
Yeah, okay, see?
That's some real shit. That's real shit right
there. Two of you both said that you're going.
What about you, Teddy Tutson? Which one are you
going to
run?
I'm absolutely going to take the Olympics here.
Really?
I'll tell you why.
Because you don't like corruption money?
First of all.
You only like when it comes to corruption women politicians.
This is international sports official Teddy Tutson who loves corruption money. And what I love more than corruption money is leading a country on that has no chance of winning in terms of giving me money. So I'm going to be pushing to be the official Kazakhstani I don't know if that's the term for your people. I'm sorry. Delegate for the IOC, because I'd be like, yeah, baby. Yeah, of course. Just keep loading your boy up. I'll fight for y'all.
I'm totally going to call you back.
Right? And I'd be like, oh, I don't know what happened in round three. Y'all got knocked out.
Oh, hey, baby. I'm sorry about that.
I don't know how it took so long.
And then you just stop returning Kazakhstan's text messages.
And then I start hitting my Beijing contact up, being like, hey, baby. I'm sorry I couldn't get back to you. You know it was real tight for
2 in the morning. You want the Olympics?
Yeah, right. Thank you.
What a way to finish.
Thank you, Tom, to wrap this up.
Tom.
Soccer aficionado.
This is a fun episode. You have a good time, Tom?
Oh, I had a great time.
What you got coming up in the next week? You got anything to pitch?
Nothing new. I just launched my website, and we're going to be shooting a new movie that you helped co-write.
Yes, I did.
What's the website? How can the people see you?
It's just thomascyoung.com.
Thomasc.
Cyoung.com.
What you got going on, Teddy Tutson?
You check your boy out Sunday, April 19th. I think that date's correct. At Flappers. Show. And then other than that, I'm just in these Rivopolis streets.
Pop it all off. Well, you can actually – apparently I just launched a new podcast on Rifopolis Network last night called Vulgar Tech with the good Reverend Mitch Marzoni.
Yeah.
You can also catch me on Crab Diving doing the Cannolinguists. This weekend I'm going to be up at Harvey's the last weekend of March hosting seven shows up there Thursday through Sunday. Seven shows in 4 days. I'm kind of excited as hell about that up in Portland. So coming your way, Portland. We're going to get this shit going on. I know you only got one professional sport, but I'll forgive you for it. It's all right. Go Trailblazers. It's all right. Well, for Teddy Tutson, Tom Young, I'm Alex Mandelberg. Go get you some Cold World up in these streets. We had a good time. Thank you very much. Good night.